It's interesting, the feast that we are celebrating today, the Feast of the Holy Trinity, because we are in this block of celebrations where we celebrate God, explicitly celebrating God in one of the three persons, or in the case of this weekend, all three persons of the Divine Trinity. Last weekend, we celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, where we celebrate and remember the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Next weekend, we celebrate Corpus Christi, the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ, which reminds us and helps us celebrate the Eucharist, the fact we can receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And then this weekend, of course, as I said, we are celebrating all three persons of the Trinity. It's interesting that this is the only weekend where, only feast, where we celebrate God the Father explicitly. Now, of course, every time we come for Mass, we are celebrating God the Father. Every time we pray, we are celebrating God the Father. Because when we celebrate one member, one person of the Trinity, we celebrate all three persons. But we're explicitly celebrating and naming God the Father during this weekend. And it's a strange doctrine if you think about it. And a lot of people have put a lot of thought about it. How can we understand this doctrine? One being, God. They are one in being. But they're three persons. One in being, three persons. Now we can understand one being, one person. Because that's each of us. Each of us is one human being made up of one human person. If you ever meet someone who thinks they're more than one person, we call that a mental illness. One being, one person. We understand that. But how can we have one God who's made up of three persons? And yet we know through divine revelation, it is the truth. It is such an important truth that we begin all our prayers by invoking this divine Trinity. Right? We begin our prayers in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We profess this truth every Sunday and every major celebration at Mass when we recite the Creed. Even the beginning of the Rosary, we profess it in the Apostles' Creed. So it's this great mystery that we really can't wrap our minds around it. And believe me, we as humans have tried for 2,000 years to wrap our minds around it. And so many of the major heresies in the church, and I would venture to say the vast majority of major heresies in the church, have come from misunderstanding the Holy Trinity. We make a mess of it. We can't quite figure it out. It's one of those things where we just have to do the, it's a mystery, don't worry about it. But there is one thing we do know about the Trinity, is that it is a relationship. And it is the most perfect of relationships. It is a relationship between each of the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, the very language we use to describe the Trinity is language of relationship, Father and Son. We use that language of relationship. There were those who tried, in the sense of being more inclusive, thinking that, you know, we're not trying to be as explicitly male by calling them Father and Son. So instead, we're going to use the terms Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier to describe the Trinity. And that's not bad insofar as that's what the Holy Trinity does. We've got God the Creator. He created us. He created all of the world, all of the universe. All of creation comes from Him. We have the Redeemer, the one who died for us. And then we have the Sanctifier, the one who sanctifies us, makes us holy. However, by focusing exclusively on that, it becomes a Trinity of work. This is what the Trinity does. You know, it's like saying that a person who is a teacher is exclusively a teacher. We don't give them a name anymore. They're just teacher. A person who drives the garbage truck is no longer no longer has a name. They're just garbage man. I don't think any of us would like that. And besides, God has revealed Himself in the phrase of a relationship, in the context of a relationship. He wants to have a relationship with him. And he wants to show us that he is a relationship of one God, three persons, that those three persons are united within that relationship. And that relationship is made up of the most pure love, the greatest love, the love that is so pure that it overflows from the Trinity. The love that is so pure that we were created to share in that love. The reason why we are here, the reason why God created us. Why are we here? To share in that love. That is why God created us. He didn't create us to be slaves or anything like that. He created us to share in his love, to share in that perfect relationship of the Trinity. And that is the definition of heaven. Heaven is sharing in that perfect love of the Trinity. Now, we don't know what heaven looks like. There are plenty of visions and apparitions and parables in the Gospels which can give us an idea. But that's all they are. It's an idea. We don't have any photographs of heaven. We don't have any video of what heaven looks like. That hasn't come back to us from the great beyond. It'd be nice. We don't have it. But the one thing we do know, if we make it to heaven, emphasis on if we make it to heaven, is that we will be sharing in that divine love, which is so beyond any love here on earth. The greatest love here on earth does not even match the love that we have in heaven, we will have in heaven. The greatest relationship, the deepest relationship, does not match the relationship that God wishes to share with us. However, because God wishes to share his love, he gave us the ability to choose. We call that free will. Free will is the ability to choose whether or not to accept God's love. We cannot be forced to love. You cannot force someone to love you. You can force someone to do something they don't want to do, but you can't force someone to love you. We call that coercion. It doesn't work. It's the same thing with conversion to the faith. We cannot force someone to become a Catholic. It doesn't last. The second the threats are gone, they're gone. We have to bring them in through love. Well, in the same way, God desires to love us and to share that we will share that love back with him, that we will choose to love him in return. We have to make that choice. And how we choose will determine whether or not we end up in eternal life. If we choose to love God in return, if we choose to put God above all things, as we were created to do, we will get to the kingdom of heaven. If we choose the things of the world above God, and so many of us do so often, we will not have the kingdom of heaven. You can fill in the blank what that means. We have the choice to love God. We need to make that choice. And it is a conscious decision. It's something that we have to consciously say, I am going to love God today. I'm going to live my life out of love for God, out of a desire for eternal life, out of a desire to return to him that love that he has shown me by creating me, by keeping me in existence, by the gifts that he has given me. We have to choose to love the Holy Trinity in return. And that shows in our lives. People will see that. We will see that if we look at ourselves. So may we truly choose to open ourselves to that love, to love God in return, and so enter into that relationship with the Holy Trinity.